Thank you, Rabbi. So let's begin. We're up to. Okay, we're up to Perek Beis. We're middle of Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis, we went through yesterday.
May I just
yes.
Ask a question? I've asked this question before on certain occasions. Now that we hit a chapter break?
Yes. Well, not yet, almost. One more Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
close.
We finish Yud Gimel, let's think about the chapter break.
Okay.
Let's look at the wording here.
Okay, yes. Wait. What's your question?
Remember, we discussed about who does the chapter breaks. Is there any significance?
Oh, you mean quit? Aha, okay. So you want to see if there's another stab.
Let's go through the puzzle.
Okay, we have to get one more pasuk. We're going to take a very good. Okay, we're going to keep that in mind. Excellent, excellent. A samach, a parsha, stuma parsha psucha. A new right. So here it's actually pretty good because over here it's actually a parsha stuma. So it's much better.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. So let's just. Yesterday, I believe. Okay, we didn't do the Malbim yet. We did not yet do the Malbim. We did the Radak. Okay, we did the Radak, but we just started the Malbim a bit. Let's go back and go through the Malbim one more time. We'll read the Pasuk one more time. Pasuk Yudeis Asif and Asif Yaakov. Yaakov will be. I will gather them in. Kulach, all of you. On page 472. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakol Nia Bidvaroi. On page 472, Asoif Esav Yaakov, I will gather you in Yaakov. Kulach, all of you. Kabeitz Akabeitz Sheiris Yisrael. I will gather in the remnant of the Jewish people. Yachad Asimenu Kitzoin Botzra. I will make all of you together like the sheep of Botzra. Botzra simply in either a fortress, sheep that are corralled into a pen that's strong, that's secure, or it refers to a city from the nation of Edom called Botzra. Ke'edi b'sechad ha'davroi, like a flock of sheep in its corral, in its place that it is accustomed to, within its natural environment. Tihimena, you will be tumultuous. There will be noise, there will be sound. Meyadam, due to the enormous number of people, of human beings that are collected together in this location. So far we learned pretty much two very different perushim for this pasuk. Most of the commentators we've learned so far has taught us that this pasuk is describing the geula. These are words of comfort. Mashiach is coming. Although Micha has been very harsh and has mentioned frightening reports of what will happen, he concludes this section with words of comfort. The day will come when Hashem will gather us back into Eretz Yisrael, Asoif Yaakov Kulach. You'll all return to Eretz Yisrael. Kabetz HaKabetz Sheiris Yisrael, you'll return. And then you'll be like sheep. Kitzoin Batzra, secure. You'll be comfortable. You'll have security. You will feel good like sheep in a pen, in a corral, in a stall,
in a secure
environment. And the word "son" here, we mentioned in passing, it plays on the idea of Yecheskel Kitzoin Kadoshim, and Tehinena, and when you'll go up to Yerushalayim, there'll be so many people, it'll be gridlock alert. You're not going to be able to move because there are going to be so many people, which is a Milo, which is something which is very beautiful. It represents the growth and the success of Klal Yisrael, Me'adam, due to an increase in the population of Klal Yisrael. This is pretty much how Rashi and the Mesudos learn Radak introduced a new idea. He put a very negative twist. A very negative twist in this pasuk, and said this pasuk is referring to galus, similar to the way Yechezkel, Yirmiyah used the word asoif asifeim nu'um Hashem, and this is a reference to galus, and it sounds like we're going to be collected in Edom, we're going to be put into a ghetto, we're going to be collected into a very small enclosure, we're going to be tight, we're going to suffer, because the goyim are going to imprison us in the process of sending us down into galus. Okay, now let's see the Malbim. We really saw the Malbim. We departed, so remember, let's just go over a little bit more. Lu Ish, back on page 471. We'll go over very quickly. On page 471, Lu Ish Halech Ruach. We started it. We did this yesterday, but we'll review it. Im Hayisi Shalech Elech Echad Menevi HaShaker Asher Yativ Lecha Shekarim O Yativu Al Pi Ruach Dim Yoinam HaToyeh. Page 472. If I will send you a person, if there will be a person amongst you who will be a Navi Sheker, and he will tell you words of falsehood, Shatiya B'soyve Yayin V'Sheikhar, and he would tell you that everything is good and fine and you should enjoy life, you should drink wine and intoxicating beverage for your matif ha'amazeh. And what are his words? We really did a lot of this yesterday. And what are his words? What is his message? Pasuk Yud Beis, according to the Malbim, is the actual message of the Navi Sheker. Unlike Rashi and the Mitzvot and the Nadak, we're asoif as the message of Hashem. Hashem is speaking. According to the Malbim, the one that is speaking in Pasuk Yud Beis is the Navi Sheker. And he's giving us instructions. His instructions are, V'yamatef amazeh osoif esoif Yaakov kulach. His words are, V'hanavi ha-sheker hazeh yamatef leimor. The word matif means he would prophesize. He would speak. He would drip, his mouth would drip with words saying, L'cha to you, bishmi, falsely, in my name, she'esoif es Yaakov, to gather Yaakov, I will gather Yaakov, v'akabet se'im imukom es pezurehem, she'im yudim toivim v'nechomois, that the Jews shall get together from their dwellings. What is his message? The Jews should be like sheep of Batsra, sheep of the nation of Edom, of Batsra, just like the non-Jews have no restrictions, they live a life of hefkerus. The Jews should follow in their ways and also live a life of hefkerus. Kitzoin kadoshim, kitzoin Yerushalayim. Rak sheyudaimim kitzoin batzra sheir roish malchus Edom. They should be like this sheep, the people. Over here, the word son is a metaphor for people of Batsra. Sheir roish malchus Edom. Batsra is the capital of Edom. Sha'atzoin asher b'saycha. Tzoin is a metaphor. Haynu ha'om sheba. Heim chofshim mikol Torah u'mitzvah. They are free from discipline. Torah mitzvahs. V'yoy malacha. And this false Navi will say, Shekin gam ata tiyeh kagoyim. You also shall be just like them. Ein Torah. So what's the message? Im yavoy Navi sheyatif l'cha kein. If the Navi, a false Navi, will come and speak these words, Oz ke'eder, like a flock, b'soy chadavroi, tihimena me'adam. Good morning, Ritzen Olaymar. Oz lo yischabu kulam bibatem kashahayu baruchim milishmoy divrei ha-Navi emes asher hitif lochem milishmoy mitzvahis. I know what's going to happen. I know that the people are going to come out of their holes. When the Navi emes comes and says words of Musar, the people lock themselves up in their homes. They don't want to hear. But when a Navi Sheker comes and says to them that everything is going to be good and you should abandon the Torah, he attracts large crowds. Rak hayu miskabsim kulam l'shmoyas devara v'abayis shal Navi amatif hayu moli hemayas adam. The bayis that the Navi is matif, Hayamolehem hem yas adam, will be filled with noise. In other words, the theater where the false prophet appears to tell people that they should abandon the mitzvahs will be packed, k'moshe hadvir, just like a corral, shasham mikabtsim esatzayin, molei mikol ha'eder v'loi choser tzayin echad. Just like a pen, a corral, a stool where you collect sheep is packed, no one is missing. Likewise, when this Navi Sheker would come and entertain you and tell you to abandon the Torah, there would be standing room only, if not even that. I remember once, Shavuos night, I always used to joke about this. So I spoke in a certain shul, not going to say where. I was on the roster, and no one came to me. I had maybe 3-4 people who showed up from my drasha. And after me was a person which, whatever it was, whoever he was, his topic was David and Avishag. Okay, remember, Shavuos is the birthday of David HaMelech. David and Avishag, what was Avishag? The Sekenes. Exactly, you said it the way it is. The place was packed.
You know what sells.
How did you say those words? Okay, so those words, I complained to my mother. It's not fair. I go and I prepare my head off my little drasha. No one wants to come.
And topic?
My topic, I don't know. I don't know what it was. It wasn't as exciting. It wasn't as exciting as David and Avishag. So my mother basically said to me what Michal just said in different words. And listen, you know, the topic was a popular topic. It attracted quite a number of people. So here as well, the Navi Sheker, he knows what to say. His topic is very popular, telling people he is legitimizing their lifestyle. Okay, he's legitimizing their lifestyle. He speaks their language. The people are obviously, they're looking for trouble. He's coming to assist them, to legitimize, not to give them mussar. He's very popular. And that's how the Malam Shan, the Pasuk, when he comes, he attracts people. And the theater, the auditorium where he's speaking, is packed. It's packed. There's noise. It's standing room only. But when the Navi MS comes and speaks their very MS, no one is interested. You cannot get someone out of their bunker to come listen to a drasha where they're going to hear Musar. What?
Look at the Blasio rally.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, there's more things here, but I think a lot of the stuff that we want to discuss is really on the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel Olah Haparetz Lifnehem. Now again, we have to know, is this Pasuk Yud Gimel coming, is it a continuation of words of gloom and doom, like the Radak said, or is this a continuation of words of comfort, like everyone else said? Everyone else, or the Malbum is not Malbum, is neither or. The Malbum is Nishtahi Nishtaher. According to Rashi and Mitzudois, the Pasuk is describing Yimois HaMashiach. According to the Radak, the Pasuk is describing Golos. According to the Malbum, none of the above. It's describing the Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker is coming and he's giving you a message. He's telling people, let's get together and let's abandon the Torah and let's embrace the modern world. And become and forget about what was. This approach attracts people. So we're not discussing Yimus HaMashiach, we're not discussing the Golus, we're discussing the reality of what the Navi Sheker is trying to accomplish. Now, whatever the parish we learned in Pasuk Yud Beis, obviously we're going to have to be consistent in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Allah HaPoiretz Lifnehem. The Poiretz is the one who makes a breach. The Poiretz Geder. Poritzu Vayavoyru. Okay, he made a breach and he passed through the breach. Shahar Vayetsuvo. This is an expression. I guess we repeat the word partsu. He breached through the gate, and he exited through that gate. Vayavor malkom lifnehem. Their king went in front. Sorry? Sorry, I didn't hear. Ma paratz alacha paratz. Ma paratz by Paris. Very good, by Paris, exactly. Now, what exactly does this pasuk mean? Again, it's going to be a little bit complex because we have to be consistent based upon the three perushim that we've learned in pasuk Yud Beis. So, let's start with the Mitzudos David pasuk Yud Gimel. Olo ha pirates ad lo yalu heim yale yale lift me on page 473. Ad lo yalu heim. Yale, before they ascend, according to the words of the Mitzudos David, we've been consistently discussing words of comfort. These are words of nechama. Mashiach is coming. So Pasuk Yigim was saying that before the people, the common man, comes to Yerushalayim, returns from the Golos to settle in the land, first, the leaders will precede them. So the pasuk says, "Ad lo yaluhem." Before the people ascend, yalu lefnem misha yifroitz gidrois sirim umesuchas chedek. It will go before them the person who breaks the gidrois sirim. Now, what is the sirim?
The thorns.
Okay, the one that will break the fence. Made of thorns, barbed wire.
It reminds me of the time in the army.
You served in the army?
Yeah.
Israeli army.
There is a fence that the unit has to go through. So one of the soldiers fell down on the fence, put it down, and then got stuck with him and passed.
The barbed wire. So you push it down, and then everyone else, he holds it down while everyone else goes through.
Wow,
so you served in the IDF.
Yeah.
When did you serve? You served in the war? Any of the wars?
In between
the wars. Baruch, okay, Baruch Hashem. Wow. No, you would have been here even in the chashu. You've been here no matter what. But wow, it's a sakana. Wow, okay. What a chashu covered we have over here. Someone. Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael. Wow.
X.
What?
X.
Once you're a soldier, you're always a soldier. Always a soldier. Wow. Okay, here we have, okay, so before, Yalef Nehem Misha Yifretz Gidre Sirim, the fences of thorns, umesuchas chedek. Chedek is a crack. Umesuchas means what? I don't know what the word mesuchas means. Umesuchas chedek.
It's also a fence.
Okay, umesuchas chedek. It's a wall. Liyasher es haderech. Okay, so these are people are going to break down fences, thorns and fences. I guess different obstacles in the road. There are going to be people that are going to be. Sorry again.
Hedges of briars.
It's also a thorn. So chedek, I guess, a thorn also. Hedges of different types of thorns. Liyasher es haderech. So there's going to be a person that's going to precede us into Eretz Yisrael that's going to clear the road. Going to pave the road. Soilu, l'roicheba. To pave the road as we ascend to Eretz Yisrael. Who is this individual that will precede us, go ahead of us, to pave the road? V'al Eliyahu Hanavi Yoimar. According to the Mitzudos David, this pasuk Yud Gimel is addressing Eliyahu Hanavi. Mr. Weiss, you're on the mark. Ma paratzta olecha paretz. Who was paretz? Paretz was the ancestor of Eliyahu Hanavi, Malchus David. Malchus, I take it back. Because Eliyahu HaNavi is not from Yehuda, and that's not necessarily correct. Peretz is the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, so it's also alluding to that, but Eliyahu Navi is not necessarily from Shevet Yehuda. Okay, he's from many Shvatim, but I don't think he's from Yehuda. Many Shvatim, the whole discussion exactly where he comes from, his yichus, he's a very complex lineage, but L'chayre, he is not part of Shevet Yehuda. Pinchas, that's one opinion. Eliyahu HaGiladi. HaGiladi, where is Gilad? Gilad is
God.
The other, it's a whole of this. It's very complicated. There's a lot of discussion exactly which Shevet did Eliyahu Navi from. It seems many because he comes from a mixed marriage, many different layers. Ruvain, God, and Chati, Shevet, Menashe, God, in the Chanami, correct. Okay, whatever it is over here is Eliyahu HaNavi Yomashu Yovei Koidim HaGeula Liyasher the Libois Yisrael Lavim Shebashamayim Liyois Mavoi El HaGeula to be a Mavoi forward. Okay, the word Mavoi in modern Hebrew is a forward. In the book, you have a forward which sets the tone for the book. Preface, K'moy Shenemar Hine Anachi Shalech Lachem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi Veheshiv Levavis. So beautiful homiletics here in the Mitzudo stuff. This is Shlei Kedarkai. The Mitzudo stuff is always very pshat. He always likes to go down to the simplest pshat. He does rarely injects into psukim, medrash, and things that are not obvious. And here, you can say whatever you want to say in this pasuk, and he's telling us over here, the one that's going to go and precede us is none other than Eliyahu HaNavi is the subject of these words. Allah ha-poirates lifnehem. The poirates, the one that will breach open the way for us to be Eliyahu HaNavi. And what will he do? The way Mitzudas Dov learns, the breaching of here is to pave a road. It's to pave a road and to clean out the thorns and thistles, the impediments and the obstacles on the road in order to ascend. Next part two. Shavei ha-goyla yifritzu gam heimes ha-gederos v'hamisuchos. Likewise, when the pasuk now says a second time, paritzu v'yavoyru, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, we're now addressing a new category of people, not Eliyahu HaNavi, but rather common man. The common man now will follow in the lead of Eliyahu HaNavi, and they will also pave the road and set things in place in order to ascend to Eretz Yisrael. V'yavoyru, he has a very beautiful parish over here. Vayavar means they're going to pave the road in such a beautiful way. It's as if they have built a magnificent gate. When there's a gate, obviously you walk right through the gate, through the threshold. But they're going to pave the road in such a way, it will be as if there's a gate. And through this gate they will exit the Golos. It's a very fascinating way to describe leaving Golos. You're exiting the Golos. Is that the way you would describe leaving Golos? You would say you're entering. Is it an exit or an entrance? When you come to Eretz Yisrael, are you entering into the Tkufa of Geula or are you exiting Golos?
No, but first,
both.
You have to exit.
Okay, very good. So it's all subject. Yitzias Mitzrayim. There were two parts. There was Yitzias.
They come from outside and break through.
Okay.
So that you can escape.
Excellent. I'm just trying to build this up because we're gonna have three perushim here, and according to the perush of the Radak, this is describing. The previous pasuk was describing Golos. It's describing Golos. So here it can be an exit of the land. Are we going into Golos? Or are we going to Geula? When we leave the land, that's called the Yetziah. I think it's a simpler translation what we're about to see in the Radak. Not yet, but right now we're following the Mitzudos. This pasuk are words of Nechama. We are describing Geula, and it says here the word Vayetzu Voy. We have to make sense out of those words in reference to Geula. So the obvious translation in that context means we're going to exit Golos. Okay, keep that in mind. So here, Vayavu, Vayetzu min ha-goyla, Ritzayna lemar, heim yosifu oimetz, the people themselves will increase strength, liyasher libaysam, to straighten out their hearts, to do teshuvah, liftoyach b'shuvah, to open up themselves in shuvah, uvizchuz zeh, and in this merit, yetzu min ha-goyla, they will exit Golas. He's eating quite a bit of perish. It's really, very, very, very rare for the mitzvah stuff to talk like this. We've been doing mitzvah stuff such a long time, Baruch Hashem. And it's not a style. It's not a style to go and inject teshuva Eliyahu Hanavi. He's waxing homiletic. Okay, he's saying a lot of things over here that you don't typically see in the mitzvah stuff, how he plays with the pasuk in a much greater homiletic path than he ordinarily does. Then it says, Vayavar Malcolm. What?
This is one person.
It's the Biloshan Rabin. The people also, they're going to breach.
And they,
but he's saying over here, well, how are they opening up? The focus is teshuva. It's not a thing of so much, which is a little bit, okay, it's fine, obviously, but that has to have, he feels that's the pshat and the pasuk. It's fine, but usually you get a sense of the mitzvahs. He likes to learn the pasuk to translate the words as literally as possible. And here he's injecting the words with more flavor that the paving of the road, we're dealing first with Eliyahu HaNavi, and his primary focus is not to pave roads. His focus is to take away the obstacles in our hearts. And the people will take his lead. They'll follow in his lead. They will do the same. They will exit Golis. And then the pasuk concludes, Vayavar Malkam Lifnehem Bishuvam Yavar Lifne Malkam. Who is the Melech? Is it the Melech Malchay Amlochim? No. It's the Melech HaMashiach. Yavar Lifne Malkam, who Melech HaMashiach VaHashem. And then we come to Hashem. VaHashem Yavar Beroish Kulam Ki Oz Yachazir Gamhu Shechinaso Litzion. What a beautiful way to end this parak. So to review, the mitzvah stuff it says, Pasuk Yogimel is the continuation of Pasuk Yudeis. We are describing the Geula, Ola HaPoyreitz Lifnehem, Eliyahu HaNavi is called the Poyreitz, and he translates the word Poyreitz, interesting, the mitzvah doesn't translate it in a literal sense, to breach, open offense. He says it's more of a way of taking away the obstacles, the thorns, the thistles, and from where? From our hearts, not even so much on the road. Partsu vayavayru, the people follow in his lead, they also remove the obstacles from their heart to go forward. And sha'ar vayetsubo, the path that has been created has been so perfect, it's as if it's a gate. Vayetsubo means we're going to exit the gullus, vayavar malkom lefnehem. And then the Melech HaMashiach will appear, V'Yashem B'Roisham, and the Ribbonish Shalom will return Nishlina. So there are three subjects in this pasuk. Eliyahu HaNavi, the Melech HaMashiach, and the Ribbonish Shalom. How often do you have a pasuk in Tanakh which brings all three together? All three together. Now let's see the Rashi. Rashi will say something similar. Rashi, Pasuk Yigimul Ola HaParetz, Moshi'om HaParetz, their savior, who breaches the Gidroi Sirim, the fence of thorns, Umisuchois Chadokim, okay, a hedge of thistles, something similar to sharp items. Liasher lifnehem aderech. It doesn't say more than that. Okay, Rashi normally it's just the opposite. Normally it's Rashi who injects the pasuk with Melech HaMashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi and Teshuva v'chulu v'chulu, and the Mitzudos is the one that says the pshat. And here we have a reversal of roles. Rashi is just very simple. Rashi says there's going to be a savior. He does not tell us who it is. Does not make mention of Eliyahu HaNavi. Does not make mention of Melech HaMashiach. And he just says the time will come. There's going to be Geula, I'm going to gather you in, their Savior will come and pave a road for you to ascend to your Geula. We learned that right before you came. We read that in the Mitzvah, so we spent 10 minutes on that. Right, now let's go to the Radak. the Radak, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Allah HaPirates, Perish Adoni Avizal, a favorite commentator of the Radak, he often quotes his father, very, very often, Al Tzidkiyahu Kishiyatza Derech Bein Hacham Osayim. Now let's remember, let's not forget, the Radak is reading this Pasuk Lishit HaSayim. The Radak learns the Pasuk Yudeis is a nevuah of Golos, Osoif Asifein Um Hashem. This is the same expression as Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Osoif Eesoif. We're describing the Golos, the end of the Bayis Rishon. And thus, Pasuk Yud Gimel has to continue in that pattern. And now the Poirates, who's the Poirates? Tzidkiyahu is the Poirates. He is now being exiled. My father explained, Al Tzidkiyahu Kishayotza Derech Bein HaChoyim Oysayim, Sheparitzu Lefonav HaChoyimah, he breached open a wall, K'mo Shekosu B'nevuas Yecheskel, Bakir Yachtiru Lohitzibay. Tzidkiyahu at the very end tried to escape. In fact, there was a special escape tunnel that was built just for this. There was an escape tunnel just in case there was an emergency. There was a special tunnel which he entered. And to get into that tunnel, it would appear from the pasuk that they had to break down a wall. There was a tunnel there in place, but the tunnel was sheltered with a temporary wall. They broke down this wall to enter into this tunnel, and they traveled, I think, all the way to Yericho, if I'm not mistaken. They traveled in this tunnel a very, very far distance, and he came up, and al derech ha-teva, he would have escaped. There's no reason in the world why this planet was foolproof. It opened up into an area where no one frequented. No one was in that vicinity. It was just an empty place. And it was b'hashkocha pratis. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Tzidkiyahu to be captured. And that moment, there was the soldiers were hungry. So they were hunting deer for food. And there was a deer, they were chasing after a deer to capture, to slaughter for their lunch. And that deer happened to pass exactly the exit of the cave where Tzidkiyahu came out. And there was a tunnel from Yerushalayim in his castle in Yerushalayim all the way to a faraway place, I think near Yerichai. And he broke down a wall to get into that tunnel underground. Traveled, he came out, and punkt, hashkocha pratis, a deer was passing there, and the Nebuchadnezzar soldiers were frequenting that area, and look who came out of the cave, out of this, it happened to be, who's this? This is Tzidkiyahu. How do they know? Was he maybe dressed in the Malchus? I don't know. Somehow they figured it out. And they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar. They brought him. They not right away, but eventually he was taken down. He was taken down to Bavel. He was blinded. His 10 sons were killed in front of his eyes. And he suffered a very tragic end.
Is this the tunnel that they recently found?
Not likely. Very unlikely. The tunnel they found new tunnel. I'm not familiar. But it's very unlikely that this tunnel that the Chazal discussing exists today, where you can identify it. It's very, very unlikely, because so many years ago, it must have been a very small tunnel, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went inside
the tunnels that you're referring to are, he built a tourist attraction. He's built a special tunnels of water.
Yes.
During the siege.
Yes, it was one way, and it was around 576 meters, and you should go down. If you straight, you touch the ceiling of the...
You have to bend down.
Very, very cold water is running. Right. I didn't know. The other people, they know they had brought special shoes.
To walk in it.
And the flashlight. And I didn't. I went behind them. And it was very, very cold. And other side, I couldn't come back because the wife was other side.
So you had no choice but to ruin your shoes.
Very, very difficult. And was written in the middle that...
You got all wet.
Ischia tunnel.
Okay. But those tunnels that you're referring to are in the time of the siege. Chizkiah, he built a complex set of tunnels to bring water in from outside into Yerushalayim without Nebuchadnezzar being aware that they had a supply of water, because if they knew there was water coming into the city and they would shut off the water, then they would starve. They would die from starvation. So Chizkiah, who saw in advance that he had to protect the city in case there would be a siege, so he created a very complex system of tunnels that would secretly bring water from outside into Yerushalayim, natural spring water, in order to keep the people living in Yerushalayim alive during a siege. And today that's been discovered, it's been studied and analyzed, and the people of today are blown away with the chokhmah of this entire network of tunnels that was created so many years ago.
Okay. It was so narrow that two people cannot
walk at the same
and
time.
They don't know where the water is running, going down.
Correct.
They don't know the water is going.
Okay, let's go further. So this over here, we're discussing over here the different tunnel. This was a tunnel which took an escape tunnel. Vayavar Malcolm Lifnei. Next, Vayavar Malcolm Lifneiem. Zed Tzidkiyahu Sheborach Lifnei Cheloi V'Cheloi Acharav. Okay, he ran before his army. V'Cheloi Acharav. He went in front. V'Hashem Beroisham Koydim Izeh Beroish. Before this, the Shechina already left. So we have over here a parish of this pasuk which is diametrically opposite what Rashi and the Mitzudos said, because the Radak Lashitah say. This pasuk is describing what happened in Golos. Allah haparetz lifnehem. Tzidkiyahu went first. Now that's also very interesting that, you know, in Jewish kings, we Jewish David HaMelech, when he went to war, who went first? He did. Okay, this is a study. All the various military armies in the world, when they go out to battle, who goes in front? Does the general go in front, or does the foot soldiers go in front? Okay, so today, David always went first. He went ahead. In the IDF, what do they do today? The commander goes in front. And in the United States, where does the commander go? In the back. Is that a fact?
Eyes in a bunker.
Depends how far up the chain of command we're talking about.
Okay, so I don't know. Okay,
the platoon leader or the unit leader would probably go.
Go in front. Okay, I don't know. This is something you have to go to West Point. In the movies, yeah. In real life, it's not the movies. Okay, but this is something which is very, very interesting. You have to study all the battles, the famous battles in world history. And study the leaders. Where were they when their soldiers were fighting on the front lines? Where exactly were they located? To what degree did they put themselves in danger to participate in the battle? So here, that's during battle. What about when you escape? Let's say it's time to retreat. Let's say you realize that the curtains are closing. It's all over. And raised, and everyone you call, you tell your soldiers, let's get out of here. Does the general go first, or does the general go last? Make sure all of your men are first safe. You collect, like you have a pilot on a plane. When the plane goes down, it's the job of the captain of the plane to make sure, of the captain of the ship, every last passenger is off the ship before he leaves. I remember just reading about Miracle in the Hudson. What was his name?
Solberg.
Sullenberger. 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 So I remember, so he did not leave the plane until he checked, went back and forth the entire plane. It was already water up to his knees, I think, already at that point in time on the plane. Went back and forth the entire plane to make sure there's no one left. Every last passenger is out of the cabin. That is the job of the captain, not to be the first one to jump off the plane and let everyone else fend for themselves. So here, I don't know what this means. This is a Milo Chasarin. It says over here, according to the Mitzvah stuff, that when they escaped, Tzidkiyahu went first. Now, is that a mile or a chasarin? I don't know. Maybe it's a mile because you don't know. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't know who's waiting for you on the other side. It may be dangerous to go first. Maybe not. I don't know. But in any event, it says over here. Maybe it is. I don't know. Whatever it is, but over here, the way it has to be understood. What exactly is the pasuk emphasizing this point for? Because if the pasuk wouldn't tell us that he went first, so I don't know. Whatever it is, what it is. You want to find the medrash? Is there some significance? I don't know. But the pasuk goes out of its way to say that when it came time to escape, when they realized that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed and the Melech escaped, who went first? The Melech was the first one out. Allah ha-pirates lifnehem. Is that a maila or a chesed? Is that an act of being a coward?
Well,
or is that... So that's he's a coward then.
If you think you're in the pursuit, well, that's different. Like the king, the king's guard.
So that's the question. This is the question, exactly what exactly happened. It's not clear. All we do have over here a very important pasuk, Allah ha-pirates lifnehem. Back to the mitzvah, back to the radak. Back to the radak, he went first. Okay, we finished that section. Okay, and then what is paritsu vayavairu? The people, they breached through the wall and they passed, Shar, through the gate, I guess, the gate of the city. Vayetzubah, so here, Vayetzubah means they left Yerushalayim. Not like the Mitzudos, they left Golos. They took an exit from Golos. Here, they're leaving Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Vayetzubah, Vayavar Malkam Lifnehem. This repetition, according to the parish of the Radak, it's a bit difficult because there's so much repetition. Why do we need to repeat this so many times? The Melech went lifnehem, and here the last part of the pasuk is a little bit more bizarre. It doesn't really fit well. The Hashem Biroisham. Hashem was long gone. The city was already so corrupt. The Shechina left long ago. The Shechina already departed. All right, and we're reading the words, but it's not exactly very. There's a lack of satisfaction. I think the words don't flow as easily in the Perush of the Radak as they did in the Perush of the Mitzvahs and Rashi. Yeah.
Based on what we said before, that the Perush is also a reference to Shem Yehuda, so that the Yehuda comes from Peretz.
Right. So that's a mile. That is an advantage. Excellent. So at least you get there is an advantage. So it's always trade offs. According to the parish of the Radak, you have the advantage. Why the Micha is the master of Loshoin Neufel al Haloshoin. He's the master of playing with words. Every word he says over here is a code word. Peretz, why we call Arloh HaPeretz? We're now going back to his lineage. The earliest lineage of the Melech HaMashiach comes from Peretz. Ma Poretzta Olecha Peretz. Vayikra Eshimoy Peretz. So Peretz is the ancestor of Tzidkiyahu. Peretz was the first, and Tzidkiyahu is the last. This poetry taking place over here—it's very beautiful. I mean, it's sad, but it's this beauty in the sadness, so to speak. That's all fine and good according to the Radak, but according to the Parish of the Mitzvot and Rashi, you don't have that advantage because we're discussing Elio Hanavi, who has nothing to do with Peretz and Zerach. Eliyahu Navi is from other Shvatim. But on the other hand, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the Pasuk definitely flows better. There's no repetition. We're discussing the process of Geula, Eliyahu Navi, Melech HaMashiach, the Bibayna Shalaylam. It flows. According to the parish of the Radak, you're getting an advantage, but it's not flowing. This is a Musar for life. Life is all about trade-offs. There's no such thing in life as having everything. You have a mile here, there's a chesaron here. Life is like a short tablecloth. If it's good on this side, it's not good on that side. If you want to pull it and make it nice on that side, it's not going to be good on this side. This is the yesoid of life. No one has everything. Everyone has what Hashem gave them, everyone, everything in life is nothing more than a trade-off. The best example of this, I was so fascinated. It really, really was. It was one of the probably one of the best classes I ever took in college. He used to come with Joe Thurm. Comes around here once in a while. Joe Thurm. So he was a professor. I took a course with him in college. It's a computer course. And the whole course was to show that every single thing in computer science, whether it's hardware, whether it's software, programming languages, every single thing is a trade-off. You're not going to have anything perfect. If you want to use this language, you don't have these milas. You want those? You want certain advantages, so you got to use this programming language, this operating system, this piece of hardware. But this operating system and this piece of hardware has chesroinos in computing. It was a brilliant course. Everything is trade-offs, and you have to make decisions. What is your priority? And you go with it, and you fill in the gaps. You have a pasuk here, it's a zel bezach, a pasuk over here. You have different perushim. Each one of the mefarshim has milos, but they are chesroinos. And you're not going to be able, and you're not going to be able to have it all. And that's the beauty of Nach. You have to look at all the various dimensions of the psukim, even though they're tired to the sasri. Two perushim, you cannot. They don't go together. But that's not what it's meant to be. Ayin panim l'toira, and you're able to bring out the beauty of everything has its time and place in its unique dimension. Let's go now with the Yonis and Tirgin. Elu habsukim nechama l'asid. So now, finally, the Radak, after his perush of Yudbeis and Yudgimel, he now comes around to pay homage to Rashi and the Mitzudos. Where did Rashi and the Mitzudos derive their interpretation? They derived it from the Targum. Okay, the Ikur is the Targum. The Yonis and Tirgim Elu habsukim nechama l'asid v'chein Tirgim b'sayfa. In the end of days. Okay, in the end of days, there is in the word, b'sayfa, ka no sha acha ne shinun debes Yaakov. They're all going to be, that's osoif as soif. At the end of days, I will gather the Jewish people together. I'm going to bring the geula. Kul hoinu kirava akorev. They will all come near gol vos choin in their golus. I will gather them. I will gather them from their golus. She'aradi Yisrael. The remnants of the Jewish people, the She'edis Yisrael, kechada asha ve'nun ke'ono b'goy chutra, I will make them one. Like one nation, I will make them like sheep, ke'ono. Ke'ono means sheep, b'goy chutra, inside of a chutra. I guess chutra, I'm assuming over here, means a pen, a stall, stick. Batra, chutra, Ke'ona v'goy chutra ke'edra b'goy dira. So what does it mean, cha'ana? What does the word cha'ana mean? Kitzoin batzra. He's translating kitzoin as what? Does anyone know what the word ke'ana mean? I'm assuming the word tzoin means sheep. So the word, it has to be sheep. B'goy chutra with a stick. Like
shepherd stick.
So he's giving us a new translation. That's not the way, until now, when we learned all the mefarshim, we translate the word batzra, either mean to be fortification. Fortification, or we learned it to mean it's the name of a city, the name of one of the capital cities of Edom. So he's saying Batra, it means chutra. This means a stick. A shepherd has a stick and guides his flock. A leader, like Kitzoin Batra, Ke'ona v'goy chutra. I'm not sure if I'm translating the word honor correctly. Let's go further. Ke'edra v'goy dira, okay, that we know, that's the next words of the pasuk. Ke'edra, flock of sheep, b'soy chadavroi, inside of his pen, stall, devir, tihimon miske enosha, you will be, in tiske means an abundance of people, you will be tumultuous. You will be the number of people, the population of the Jewish people will explode in the times of Mashiach. Okay, that's a very beautiful bracha. There's going to be is going to be the She'edis Yisrael is going to turn into an enormous number of people. Now, oh, he actually explains. Tirgem Batra Chutra. What's Chutra? He said, pay attention. Kitargum Gidroi Sain. What does it mean, Gidroi Sain? What does it mean, Gidroi Sain? It means flocks of sheep. Chutrin De'on. Okay, so I guess it means, doesn't necessarily mean a stick. I mean, it's related to a stick because a shepherd has a stick to move around his animals, but it's just a borrowed term. It's a borrowed term, which means that the Jewish people will be gathered into Eretz Yisrael like sheep are gathered into a pen. The Tirgem Hadavroi, the word Hadavroi is a dira. K'moy ha-koinei soin l'dir. Oh, that's a great word, great example. That's one of the first things that you learn in the Yeshiva Ketana. Ha-koinei soin l'dir v'no l'fonof kiroi. You gather, did you learn that in Persia? They taught you that in Persia? Ha-koinei soin l'dir, that's the first thing that they teach there as well? They teach us, what's the first thing they teach? What do you learn, the first thing you learn in Gemara? What's the minhag?
Hamafkir.
Elevitzis.
Hamafkir eser chavero b'emo kelim negrim bo shavlu et shinim rasani shavah.
Look at that. Gears the Yankusa. Wow, okay. Gedir kawai koine son ledir bedivrei rabbi se nezal. Next. Allah. What does the meaning of the word Allah? Allah yiskun me mishezvin kad bikad meso. He's going now to the next pasuk. They will ascend. They will ascend. Mishezvun. Redemption, kad bikad mesa, like it was back in the olden day, like the olden days. Allah ha pirates now he's translating pasuk gimel. Allah, the salvation will come. The word mishezvin means redemption. Kad bikad mesa, like in the olden days. Okay, so he's translating the word pirates to mean pirates means means Meshezvin, salvation. Salvation will ascend. I'm sorry? Their Savior. Okay, their Savior will ascend. The Yisak Melech Midabar Bereshoin, and their King will rise up. Midabar, that will speak on their behalf, it seems, Bereshoin as their head. The Yisbar Baalei Devava. They will break, they will smash their enemies. Bali Deva means their enemies. Dim ikin lohoim, which torture them. So he's telling us that we have new perushim over here. Let's just read the whole thing and we'll come back. Vichabesh karchin takifin kirve amamaya. They will conquer mighty cities of the nations, Yachsinun, they will inherit. Vihei malkehoin, and their leader, their king, midabar berei shoin, will guide them, will lead them in front of them. Umemra da Hashem, the word of Hashem b'sad hoin will be to their assistance. So he's saying over here something that is similar to what we've learned in the Mitzudois, but he embellishes it a little bit more than them. The Targum, that is, let's read the pasuk. The pasuk Yigimel, Allah ha'pirates lifnehem. The pirates, he's not translating to refer to Eliyahu Hanavi. The pirates means their savior. Who is their savior? Maybe the Melech HaMashiach. Maybe it's Mashiach ben Yosef. Chazal tells us there's two Mashiachim. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is the military. Pasha is the political or the military leader. That's okay. That's one perush of Mashiach ben Yosef. He will go in front of them. Partzu vayavoyru shar vayetzuvo. And he translates this to mean over here is they're going to conquer nations. Not just, like we learned before, the Paritsu, like the Mitzudas David said, is going to take out the thorns and thistles out of your heart and guide you to do teshuva. We're discussing here military battle. We're discussing conquest. He's going to Paritsu to smash open mighty, powerful cities. Vayavoyru. They're going to conquer. Shahar, what does Shahar mean? Not like the Mitzudas David says that the path will be so smooth and easy to travel, it's like you're walking through a gate. He translates the word Shahar to mean cities. Cities, non-Jewish cities that have massive gates. The Jewish people, through their leader, through the Melech HaMashiach, through their Savior, will conquer these massive cities. And what will happen next? They'll crush their enemies, they'll torture them, they'll conquer cities, and they will now inherit. Now he adds in, they will inherit the Yetzuvoi. The Yetzuvoi seems to indicate, the way he seems to be translating is they're going to inherit the city. So what does he mean by Yetzuvoi? The enemy will depart. The people who are living in these cities will leave. And who will take over? Us, the Jewish people, will conquer these cities. And their king, going referring to the king, who is their king? I guess the Melech HaMashiach, maybe he refers to the Melech Ben Melech David, the Malchus of David, the Hashem B'Roisham, Hashem will be at our aid, our assistance. So he has a very rich, the Targum has a very rich and playrush of this Pasuk, that in times the Mashiach are coming, the Poiretz is our Savior, he will destroy our enemies. Paritzu lefnem, paritzu vayavoyru, he will destroy our enemies. Shahar, he will conquer mighty cities. Vayetzuvoy, the residents of these cities will exit and we will inherit these cities. And then the Mashiach, the Melech, will lead us and Hashem will be at our aid. Describing military battles that will take place in times of Mashiach. The Mitzudas David did not go with the Targum Yenison. The Mitzudas David was very religious. And he said the Pasuk is not discussing military battles, we're discussing the heart, the impediments of the heart, doing Teshuvah, Eliyo, Hanavi, Veheshiv, Le'ala, Salbanim, Le'ban, Malavaisam. Very Rashi was very silent. Rashi really didn't say very much. Rashi just says that their Savior will come and remove the thorns from the road and didn't really elaborate more than that. Okay, so we have over here, very, very fascinating over here, so far already three Mahalchim in this Pasuk. And now we come to the Malbum. The Malbum Pasuk, Yud Gimel, Ola HaParitz, Oymer, Re'eze Eich, Einam Shlemim Be'emunasa. Now remember, the Malbum is off the beaten track. The Malbum says that these psukim, we're not discussing the Melech HaMashiach. We are not discussing Tzidkiyahu going into Golus. We are discussing the times of the Aseres HaShvatim. We are describing the words of the Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker is trying to convince the people to abandon Yiddishkeit, to throw it all away, to tell them that their Torah is ancient, and abandoned Torah mitzvahs, and is working with that approach. Ola HaParetz, Oymer. Who's speaking? Pashtus is the Melech, the Navi Sheker is the subject. He's speaking. Re'ez no, Eich Einam Shleimim Bemunasam. Maybe now let's just see. Ve'eich Yonuhu Kikona Al Pnei Ruach U'Poischim Al Shtei Hasi'ifim. That's a quote from Pinchas. The Jewish people, no, Pinchas said that. Pinchas, and he's telling us that you are phonies. You're living a double life. In public, you present yourself as being erlich and honest, but privately you have another life. When he was a king who rose up and was Paratz, he breached the Gidrois. He turned the page to page 475, who broke open Gidrois Hadas of the law, the Avad Avodah Zarah. The kings of Yehuda were pretty good. Pretty much all the way down the line, they were tzaddikim until the end. Menashe and Amon and Willi Ochaz, Menashe and Amon were three notable exceptions to 23. How many kings were there in Yehuda? It's good to know the numbers. No numbers, it's very convenient to know the numbers. How many kings were there in Yehuda? I think 23, I believe. There were 23, starting with David, Shlomo, 2. And then from there on in, there were 21 kings. How many kings were there in the Malchus of Yehuda? Yisrael? 21. From the time the kingdom split, from the Malchus of Yehuda to the Malchus of Yisrael, each line of Malchus had exactly 21 kings. 21 kings. And before it split, there were two kings, or really three kings. There was Shaul, there was David, and Shlomo. So let's go back. Klal Yisrael started off with three kings. Shaul, David, Shlomo. And then was Rechavam. And who broke away from Rechavam? Ten Shvatim. Who was the leader? Yerav ben Nevat. From there on, there was a line going down, two different lines of Malchus. Each one had from there on into the Golis exactly 21 kings. The Malchus of Yisrael came to an end about 150 years before the Malchus of Yud, because the kings would live much less. It was a much shorter reign for most of those kings. So that's why it came to an end. It came to an end much, much sooner. So that would make it, what would be the grand total? That would be 42 plus three more, 45. Isn't that very interesting? I never realized that. 45 kings in total. The same number of kinos. The same gematria of Adam. The gematria of Adam. That's what would appear. Michal, you're doing a fact checking? A fact checker? Okay, we have to go over the numbers.
End of the parashah Ishnasi, Elna Menachem Asher Avdu Beidon, Yivnei
Menachem
Beisrael.
What? That's nothing. No, that's a whole different pasuk. Okay, whatever it is, it's not what the point over here is. We have over here, the kings of Yehuda were generally tzaddikim. When it came to the end of the line, when it came, the numbers don't add up.
No, Malchus Yisrael. Here it lists 20 in Malchus Yisrael, and Malchus Yehuda like 21, but. It also lists on the melody that lists, what do you call it? But I guess for, Ishbosheth for 2 years. Just even though it wasn't appointed yet.
Okay, I'm quoting from something that I read. So I have to go back. I into the fact checking. We have to analyze that number is correct or not. That would be very, if that would be correct, then that would result in there being a total of 45 kings in Klal Yisrael.
45 kings, yes, if you count the Ishbosheth.
If you count Ishbosheth?
Yeah, makes 45.
Was Ishbosheth a king?
Well, it lists him here for 2 years. Even though he's not...
He was a king. After Shaul died, that makes it four then. So that makes the means before there was Malchus was four. Shaul, Ishbosheth.
I don't agree. Okay.
All right. All right, it's... Okay, listen, it's not...
It was either because Atalio wanted to kill him.
5, 6, 7.
That you wanted to kill him.
Okay,
well,
everyone. Okay, whatever it is, but the point is that the Malchus. Okay, this.
Before them is 4 is 25, and 20 is 45.
So, how many kings were there from the time they split on each side?
21 and 20.
21 and 20?
According to this, unless I don't add well.
I don't know how
you're counting. I don't know, I'm just saying. If I don't
add
count 21,
So now I give you a homework assignment, Rabbi Isai. I give you a homework assignment and go figure out in the kinos, there are 45 kinos. Show me each kino how it corresponds to each melech. Find me a remes in each of the 45 kinos how each one corresponds to each particular king.
Who says they're going to hire you next year again?
If it's based upon ratings, in the secular world, there's the ratings, right? If you don't have good ratings, they don't renew. They don't renew. No, they don't renew it. They don't renew. They don't renew the series.
He's right. It's 20 and 20 because I didn't know it was two lines, but it was one name, one person with a long title.
So it's 20 and 20.
And then 4, it doesn't come out to 45.
44.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't work out.
All
right, let's finish up where we are. The point we're going to make over here is that the kings of Yehuda were generally tzaddikim until the end. The end, Ochaz, Menashe, and Amon. And likewise, Yeravam and Yehoyakim, Yehoyakim was also not considered to be a tzaddik, and even Tzidkiyahu is a mixed bag. Okay, they have contradictions. Was he a tzaddik or not a tzaddik? In any event, now the Ovar of the Zorah, Nimshechu Tekev Kol Om Achrev, La'asos Kimaseyu, Now, when the king would decide, the king of Yehuda decided to do Avodah Zarah, Menashe, Amon, Ochaz, the population was drawn after the king. Chizkiah was in between Ochaz and Menashe. In between Ochaz and Menashe was a tzaddik, Chizkiah. In fact, he was one of the greatest kings. Sha'amar Achri Ochaz v'Yoshia. Yoshia was also one of the greatest kings. He came after Amon. Achri Menashe. For some reason, he says after Menashe. It's not true. After Menashe was Amon. Then came Yoshia. I guess he considers the father and son the same. Shechelu la'avodes Hashem keinasu gam ha'om. V'yavdu kolom es Hashem. V'zeh morir shein ha'umuna nishreshes b'libam. Rak yimoshu ha'ab. V'zeh achri ha'manik oysam la'Hashem oy la'azazel. So he writes over here something really shocking. The Malbim, and that is the people we see follow the leader. They just followed, they didn't have a mind of their own. Okay, if the king was a tzaddik, the people were tzaddikim. If the melech was a rasha, the people were rishayim. Isn't that strange? Shouldn't it be that the people should not tolerate nonsense just because the king is a rasha? Does that mean the people also have to be rishayim? This is something that's very disturbing. It's very disturbing.
You mean really that you're following the king, you're not doing anything about it. You're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, maybe, you know, along those lines. You're just not doing anything to solve the situation.
Well, you could only argue, you would say, is that it's a sign of very strong leadership. Isn't that the goal of a leader?
Right.
A very powerful leader is able to influence the people. But the Malbum in this interpretation here is saying that's not the issue. It's not a matter of being a strong, powerful leader. It's a matter of doing the right thing or the wrong thing. And over here, they're doing the wrong thing. Is that when the Pirates, the way he translates the parts is that when a king who was a Russia and was pirates together of what is correct, the people right away did whatever the king wanted to do. They didn't stand up to him and say, how dare you? The gam shar vayetzubo. Shiachri shaparzu gideros kimis ganev leleches derech pirtza. Even after the king, he went, he made a breach. Nasalachem achar kach hapirtza kishar hakavua leleches bo. The breach in religion, in doing what is correct, became like a gate. It became, this is the new norm. This is what you are supposed to do. The Yotzba Michal Hadas, they abandoned Yiddishkeit. Avul Be'ez Hashem Vayavu Malkam Lefnehem. Imovar Lefnehem Melech Tzadik HaMelech B'yiras Hashem V'haroi Limlech V'leishev Al Kisei David. Oz V'Hashem B'roisham V'Hashem Nimshu Achrei Hashem Holchu Acharav. So he has a very, very novel parish of this pasuk. And the pasuk over here is just saying over here that Klal Yisrael, you're like putty. You're like Play-Doh in the hands of your king. You have no backbone. Allah, the whole pasuk agrees according to the Malbim. Hashem is complaining. Allah ha-pareitz lifneihem. If Rachmana Litzlan, in the history of the Jewish people, we have a bad king. For example, Ochos, Menashe, Amon, Yehoyakim, Rishoyim, that lead the people in ways of evil, then guess what? Partsu vayavoiru. The people follow in this pattern. They breach the laws of the Torah. They breach what is Yashar V'Tayv, and they also abandon the Torah to the point where Shahar Vayetzuvo. They make this new Peretz, this breach, this ugly breach, into a gate. This is now what is acceptable and what is proper, as if you're walking through a gate. But what happens if they have a good king, a king that's a tzaddik? Let's say we have Vayavar Malkam Lifnehem, but if a good king rises up, who is a tzaddik? Oh, then they change their tune. V'Hashem B'Roisham. Now it's stylish to serve Hashem. So now Hashem becomes their leader. Hashem, the religion, Hashem becomes, the Ribbono Shel Olam is now part of their vocabulary. It's part of their style of life. This is a shocking piece of Musar. he's basically saying is the Jewish people, you're not really serious about anything. You don't care about anything. You don't care about religion. You do whatever is the fad of the day. If it's stylish to go learn in Lakewood, so you go learn in Lakewood, you go to Kollel. Because that's what we do today. Do you really believe in it? Do you believe in the cause? No. If this is what the times, this is what you do in order to be viewed positively in the eyes of the world, that's what you do. If it's more fashionable to be modern, to go the other way, you know, to have a different type of lifestyle, so you follow that lifestyle. You just do whatever the trend is. It's not because you believe in anything. Now that is really serious mussar. That's a very, very serious insult to Klal Yisrael.
The king was a Russia, the people didn't
protest.
What? And the king was a Russia.
Exactly.
The people didn't protest.
Right, so he's saying because they did not protest, that's an indication that you don't really believe in anything. You have a new king. You have a new king, and this is what he wants, and now it becomes fashionable. That's the trend of the day. That's what you do today? Oh, okay, so we'll forget about Yiddishkeit.
Maybe it was dictated.
But the Ten Shvat was separated. They set up guards, so people who went to Yerushalayim, they would kill them. So they
didn't have a choice.
Yes.
Okay, obviously, you know, yeah, everything, there are many, many, many dimensions, many different, many levels. But if you just read the Perush of the Pasuk, according to the Malbim, he's learning a very serious accusation is being lodged against Klal Yisrael by Micha. And he's saying, Klal Yisrael, you have no backbone. You do whatever is in style. You don't, like sheep, exactly, like sheep. You take the sheep here, they go here. You take them over here, you go there. Wherever you take them, you have no backbone. You do whatever is the trend of the day. And that is a very big insult because it means we're not people. We're just like animals. We don't think. We don't think on our own what is correct and what is proper. Okay, so we have a little more to do tomorrow. We'll do the Chumash Hanoch. But basically, we've gone through over here pretty much 3/4 Perushim. In this pasuk, are we dealing with the geula or are we dealing with galus? If we're dealing with the geula, are we discussing the melech? Are we discussing Eliyahu Hanavi or are we discussing Eliyahu Hanavi that's preparing us spiritually for the coming of Mashiach? Or are we discussing the melech Mashiach to fight battles to conquer the world? Or is this pasuk none of the above, but rather is this giving Musar from Micha telling us that we have no backbone and we just do whatever is popular in the day?
I'm a little late tomorrow, but remember the question I brought up at the beginning? I'm convinced. Now that we've read the pasuk, so.
Okay, we'll take a look at it. But there's a problem. The problem is there's a samach. There's a problem because there is a samach.
I'm seeing it right there.
Okay.
But don't do it before I get here.
It's not a check. It's an invitation.
Invitation to what? Ooh, when?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, where? Who's Shevrach?
His son, Ari's son, is getting married Sunday.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
When a person is lifted, the shaman comes down to the bone, it comes down to the last because you know, McCoyne, but my grandparents is about 1.7 million. They just work on the side entrance, so I went, that's what I went to, the entrance of Shabbos. So he said, like, 3 days before, or like 3 days afterwards, but I pulled in Shabbos or something. Then,
three-day window.
I just want to make sure that I do it correctly, because I remember the thing is, two players that were here, maybe you had some idea, I don't know if you remember, myself about what's good for me to buy, because I think I should buy a new one, because
Any digital recorder. How are you?
It could have been worse.
All right, sure. All right. We're enjoying it, plus appointment, so okay, let's begin.